When did Clarence join?
I think when I left Walt. I left Walt about 74. I joined Walt full time in 1970. Mm-hmm. And Nate and I.
Yeah, right.
Playing. And Nate got sick again.
Right, right.
And for about 6-8 months, I shouldered the load myself.
Right.
And you know, I told Walt it was just getting too much.
Right.
You know, because I was taking, you know, all the solos.
Right. And then he was working a lot, too.
Yeah, we worked all the time. A lot. You know. Yeah. And I told him, I said, we need to get another horn. He said, well, do I know anybody? Mm-hmm. You know. And, of course, the first person came to my mind was Clarence, who at that time was playing with Jerry.
Right, Jerry Gutters, right.
But, you know, Clarence and I, you know, grew up together pretty close and everything. So, you know, I talked Clarence into leaving Jerry and joining Walt. Mm-hmm. You know.
And didn't Nelson work with you for a little while or on a few jobs, I think?
Nelson worked before, let's see, when did Nelson work? I was doing some, Nate was just coming back, okay, because Nelson was with Walt. Nate and Nelson.
Okay.
But Nelson was into a lot of things, and there were some gigs that he could play, and some he couldn't, and eventually he just
got away from it, you know,
and that's when I joined Walt full time,
right,
taking his place because I had to transpose all the bone parts,
right,
you know, to fit me, you know, and Nelson's parts, you know. So, and of course Nate was playing then, but you know.
Did you do a lot of like a lot of college dates and things during that period of time with Walt?
Some. You know, we had our share, I'm sure. But we were at the attic, you know.
Oh, okay, okay, you know. okay. Because you had the place, right.
We were at the attic.
Right.
First, I was just playing like 2 or 3 Fridays and Saturdays, then it expanded to Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And then pretty soon it was all week, you know, Tuesday through Saturday.
Right.
You know.
And then Bobby Jones was around the corner.
Right.
Yeah.
And buddies,
right. Because I remember one time I subbed, or I don't know how it was, but I remember working with you and Walt and them at the Hilton. And I thought I took Nelson's place or something, but I know it was Clarence and you. You know, it was always the 2 saxophones. And then I was just there for that one thing, you know. I remember that's the only time I've ever actually worked with Walt, you know, and it was just a temporary thing, you know, because I didn't know what all, you know.
I know back in those early days, too, because, you know, I had my own band, and I would, like, freelance or something
with Walt on
occasion and stuff like that.
Right.
And, I'll never forget, I had a gig around here in East Liberty on Center Avenue at, I can't think of the name of the place, but I opened that joint up, you know, trying to get music in there, and it was working pretty decent, and one, you know, I had a freelance thing with Walt, and I hired you to take a band in there. I don't know if you remember that.
I'm trying to think. In East Liberty?
Yeah, on the center and...
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, the hotel, Kenilworth.
Kenilworth.
Right. Yeah, I remember that. And then I remember one time Walt sent me, I think it was Spider and me and or the group that I had, up to New Kensington. Uh-huh. What's that, Manarinas or whatever that joint was up there?
Yeah, the Italian club.
Right. And... So we went up, and you know, usually, as music, when you have people dancing, uh-huh. then you must be doing what they would, you know, what they want you to do.
Right.
And the people dance from the time we started until the time we ended.
Right.
And Walt called me up the day, a couple of days after, and said, "Oh, Chuck, baby, bam, 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 bam." You know, one of them kind of stories. And I said, "Okay, Walt, I understand. No problem." You know, and I don't think I ever got called to do anything else. You know, like that to sub on his jobs. But
he didn't want you taking his thunder. You know.
But how did you? After, you were with Walt. When did you leave Walt? How long did you stay with him?
Let's see. I joined Walt. I subbed with him for a couple of mm-hmm. years, 68, 69, mm-hmm. and part of 70. You know, different things. Mm-hmm. Cause, mm-hmm. you know, whenever Nate got sick,
right? Okay.
You know, he would call me, and finally Nate. Stopped playing, '70, and mm-hmm. I joined Walt
on a regular basis.
Right, mm-hmm. Nelson was
in and out,
yeah. and that sort of thing. And, but I left Walt in I told you 70. I played with Walt for about 12 years.
Yeah, okay.
So it was 84.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
It was 84 when I left Walt. And I just got,
mm-hmm.
got yeah. fed up yeah. with him. And, you know, he wouldn't yeah. pay any money.
Yeah, yeah.
And
then you get burnt out playing.
You know, and, you know, he wants you to play the same solo night mm-hmm. after night. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't do that mm-hmm. either.
You know what? 73 was when George Green got the call. Because I had my rug cleaning business and George was helping me. And I remember when he, because I used to pick him up, you know, to work with me through the day. And I remember when he was telling me that Walt had called him, you know, about working with him. And I know it was 73 because that's the year I left Homewood and moved down to the country. So, let's back up to your Joe Westray days. Who was in the band at that time that you can kind of remember?
Initially, we had Harry Nash.
Okay.
Bob Wagner.
Ponytail. Right, okay, car. Okay.
And Roscoe.
Roscoe Vier. Okay.
Right. We did a lot of playing. Joe was right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right mad.
Hey.
And,
if you play those things today, man, they'd be hip.
You're right.
Yes, sir.
You know, and you know, every now and then, Nelson and I, because Nelson
mm-hmm.
played with, mm-hmm. you know, Joe also. Mm-hmm. Every now and then we do that. You mm-hmm. know, we'll get together and
think of some of them things.
Do something. Joe wrote a thing on "I'll Remember You Always."
Right. Yeah.
I'll never forget the lick. You know.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
You know, me and Nelson would mess around and you know.
Right.
And people be looking at him, what y'all playing, you know?
Yeah, right.
And he wouldn't understand.
Yeah.
He just goes back.
Yeah.
You know.
Because I know the periods, because did Bob, remember Bob Story?
Uh-huh.
Did he work with you in
Bob worked, Story
okay.
worked, you know.
Periodically.
Because I think maybe Roscoe may have went back on the road
okay.
with Red.
Red Prasak, yeah. And what about Bob Lowry? Did he ever do anything with you for a while?
Yeah,
because I know some of the things that I did with Joe,
uh-huh.
you know.
You know, there was, you know.
Yeah, different,
of,
yeah.
Different guys, you know. And who else was in that? Later on, we had a singer named Oscar. who committed suicide over some chicken. I'll never forget it. You know,
oh, yeah.
Good blues song.
Yeah.
And, you know, this chick put him down and drank a bottle of poison.
What about, there was another guy, wasn't a guy, Fletcher, a singer, guy that used to sing with Joe for a while, brown skin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah,
because I think he went away for a while.
Because we used to do things, Joe lobbied and got that band at County Fair. There was no black.
Right.
You know, Eddie Newsom.
That's Eddie Newsom. Right.
Eddie Newsom.
Did Dakota do some things with you while you were in a band?
No, I don't.
Because she did a few things with Joe for a while.
Uh-huh.
You know, but Eddie Newsom. That's yeah.
Right. Eddie Newsom. Was
right. Because I did a couple Buffalo Inn.
Yeah, Buffalo.
Because I did a couple of those things out there. Right.
Yeah.
And
we went out there, and Benny Benack was the big shot out there. We played early.
Right.
And man, we had them people leaping,
doing everything.
You know, Benny was supposed to finish up the night. The next night, he lobbied with Joe. He said, "Man, we can't cope with what you got. Why don't we change?" Last night he said, "I got to run off the fast."
Because
they wanted to hear
right,
from
right,
you.
Right.
That was funny, man. Yeah.
Because and like you're saying, it took a while before we could play out there. And like you said, Joe managed to get that. And then after he initiated, the black bands going out there. I did a couple of dates out there with Al Dow.
Uh-huh.
This was early off when Al had a quintet.
Okay.
Remember, there's a Selby. There's a tenor player out on the keys.
Right.
I forget his first name.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, he and I, and Al, because we had three horns.
Uh-huh.
And we went out. I did a couple of dates at South Park. And I remember the last one, they sent us down, where the horse thing is down in the bottom, Bavarian Inn, I think is what it's called, and they got the guys with the funny hats and the leader, all that stuff.
Right.
I knew we wasn't gonna work. We were misplaced.
Right.
We were put in the wrong location.
Mm-hmm.
While you were with Joe, did you do? Was it all local work, right here in the city, or did you, do the outlying?
We used to go to Erie.
Okay.
We used to go to Cleveland.
Right.
We did some things with Dionne Warwick up in Erie.
Right.
Locally, we worked with the Temps down at the Pitfield House, the Temptations, and Diana Ross and some
Right.
You know.
Okay.
But, we used to do some things in the Keysport. That they had a club.
Palisades?
No, it was a club right on Walnut Street.
Oh, the swing club. Roy Walker.
No, it wasn't the swing club. It
up
was
from
a
there?
New club.
Oh, a new club.
That they had opened up.
Oh.
It was maybe three or four blocks east of the swing club, but on Walnut.
Did you go up and up the walk and in the back?
No, we went down.
Oh, you went down. Okay.
Yeah. We went down the step right from the street.
Okay, on the street
and
level.
It was very nice in there.
Yeah.
And, man, we used to fill that joint up, man, with people.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. But what the heck was the name of that club? I can't think of it now. Paradise Club.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right. I know where you're. Yeah.
Paradise Club.
Right.
That was the
okay. When you... Joe Westray was like right after you got out of the Army, right?
No, Walt was right after I got out of the Army.
Joe was before you went to the Army?
Joe was after that.
Oh, after Walt?
After Walt.
Oh, okay. Right. Okay. All right.
Because I got married just before I went to service. And when I got out of the service, I was living at Lorraine's grandmother's house on Kirkpatrick. And,
You didn't stay down there too long.
No, I didn't stay down there too long, because then I moved over to Upland Street.
Right.
Behind that bar.
Right.
And that was before we bought a house over in the Hermitage.
Mm-hmm.
But Walt was first, okay. You know.
Okay.
And
okay.
Then, you know, I hooked up with Joe.
Okay.
For quite a while.
Right, you know? Right, right.
Yeah. You know, I was his number one man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you got to look at it this way. I mean, when you get someone reliable, you know, and compatible,
yeah.
You know, and there's no problems on the within the band.
Yeah.
That, I mean, that's what you go with, you know, because I'm amazed at guys that work with a band leader and they hate his guts,
yeah.
You know, and they're talking about it, you know, and all that kind of. I mean, if you're dissatisfied, get away from me.
That's what happened with me,
yeah.
When I with Walt, you know, I became, you know, I mean, he was shocked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that,
I know.
You know, I gave my notice, you know. What's the matter? Mm-hmm. You know, I'll give you some more. I said,
it's
not that.
It ain't
all.
That, no.
You know, yeah. I said, you know,
yeah.
I need to change.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because, you know, like, sometimes you do, you kind of tire of what,
yeah.
You know, if there's nothing exciting happening.
No challenge
yeah.
To the music.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and, you know, just the same
yeah.
thing. And pretty soon I found myself almost getting into this habit of playing the same solo on the same when I realized that's what I was doing.
When you woke up,
I said, you know,
yeah, time out.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's time for me to
yeah.
you know, do something else.
Were you involved in BMOP very much? You know, like, okay, let's go back a little bit. What involvement did you have with the merge and Joe, you know, from Lincoln Avenue? Were you involved much in the union activities at that time?
Well, I was on the board.
You were on the board.
The merge board.
Okay.
And
64 and 65.
I mean, I was on 471.
Right, right.
We merged.
Yeah, yeah.
And went downtown and,
yeah.
You know, I think what'd they have?
Well, we had three representatives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Joe,
Rudy,
and
myself.
I thought it was Honey Boy.
It's
the
Honey
first
Boy.
Year.
Was
yeah,
it?
Honey Boy, right, initially.
Yeah, initially.
And then, like, and we voted.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It was Honey Boy. Really.
Right.
And they were afraid of me down there at the 60.
Answer me this, speaking of that.
Mm-hmm.
How was that stipulation, when you took George's job as the assistant to the president, or business agent,
right.
You know, quote, how was that thing about, they restricted your playing, you know, some of the, either you couldn't take, I don't know exactly what it was, but I know, you know, we had heard there was some kind of
right.
restriction that they'd put on your...
Right. They restricted, you know, my ability to do gigs because... I had access to the contracts coming in or something.
Yeah, that's the way they said it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because prior to that, Mickey Ross was playing gigs.
Incidentally,
you know?
he died.
Yeah. 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 But because I met him like shortly after the merge had happened, because I had met him because he lived over in Brighton, off of Brighton Road back there, one of them little areas. And Clyde Bell, I knew that he was working, you know. So then when you became the assistant, you know, and I heard this thing about, you know, the restriction on the job, I'm saying, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
The guy that had the job before wasn't restricted,
right.
You know.
Well,
yeah.
Osgood.
Yeah, Osgood, yeah, he was a cat.
He did allow me to
a few
play certain
mm-hmm.
gigs.
Mm-hmm.
I think I played something with, I did that thing with Count Basie,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and a couple other shows
mm-hmm, okay.
people had called
right,
me.
Right, right, right.
But by and large, I couldn't make any
right.
gig.
Yeah, yeah. Because I didn't know, in fact, I didn't even know that you had given up that particular job. Until one day I was at the Hilton, and Billy Schaefer
mm-hmm.
came through.
Right.
You know, and I, because Because I wouldn't see you that much.
No.
You know, because, you know, every now and then I'd run into you, you know. Right. But I saw Billy, and he said he was doing it. And I said, oh, you know, it was a surprise to me, because I didn't know that you had given up that job, you know. You know. When you, after working with Joe, when did you stop working with Joe?
No. I stopped working with Joe to go full time with Walt.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. All right. That explains it. Right.
Because
okay.
You know, after I got out of service, you know, I took okay. Nate's place there, okay. You know, for a while, okay. And then you know, Nate came back.
Right. When you how many terms did you serve on the board? I mean, okay, you started on Lincoln Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Were you on the board at the club or at Joe's? Enterprise under Carl, or did you go?
No, with Joe.
Under Joe. So yeah. That was over at Westbury Pratt.
Introduction into,
and you know. Did you do, well, it could have only been two terms. At Joe's place, right, because we weren't there that long.
No.
Yeah.
And then I did one term.
You were elected one term down here.
Downtown.
Right. Were you, do you remember, were you on the board before Boswell was elected on the board downtown? Must have been.
Yeah.
Okay, you were on early in the merge years.
Right.
Before George Childers died.
Right.
Okay. In your capacity serving on the board, was there many issues that came up through the board that seemed to be black issues, other than guys being erased and suspended and stuff like that? Were there any issues that were handled through the, you know, that were kind of had a racial flavor to them?
Not brought out during the, you know, the board meetings, but
right.
They had their own agenda.
Yeah.
You know, after the joint board meeting,
right,
you
right.
Know, because, you know, certainly yeah. there was an effort to
right.
Keep
Schaefer,
you know, the black people.
Yeah. Schaefer and Hagerty and
and
was Patsy Oliver on the board during the time that you were there?
Yeah.
Okay, and Frank Ostrowski.
Ostrowski.
Yeah. See, because they've been on the board 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from I almost said from day one of the merge,
mm-hmm.
because and you can't keep people that long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they were suppressing everything that wanted to happen. You know.
But you know, especially and, Patsy Oliver, he would get in your face and say.
Yeah.
One thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
there's something else over here.
He almost got me in deep trouble at the country club out there in Churchill.
Mm.
Because, you know, there was always, I think, a notion while I was on that gig that I wasn't taking care of business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I wasn't mm-hmm. going out.
Mm-hmm.
But I was out.
Yeah, doing,
you know?
Yeah, doing everything that you had to do.
Right. And
yeah.
See, they mm-hmm. appointed me to the job, and
mm-hmm.
I was going to do the job.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'll never forget one New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Went out to the club, church,
mm-hmm.
You know, Patsy Oliver and his band was playing, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
when I would go in, you know, I would be very incognito.
Right,
you
right.
Know, because,
right.
I mean,
yeah, yeah,
okay. I'm placed there,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But I'd always go to the manager, and I
do what you got to do.
And tell him who I was
right.
about.
Yeah.
So he and I became pretty good
mm-hmm.
friends. The manager
mm-hmm.
out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I would come out, and you know, he'd you know.
Right. Right.
For this particular New Year's Eve, you know, I was in the doorway. I knew Frank was or Patsy's band was going to be there,
uh-huh.
but I said, you know, I don't want to
mm-hmm.
you know,
interrupt.
Show my face.
Mm-hmm.
So. Went to the door, and you know, the band
mm-hmm.
was playing, and you know, Patsy was there. You know, he spotted me and waved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right back, you know, and I was getting ready to leave. And, you know, people's out there.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Yeah, they don't want to walk through the floor. Yeah. Yeah.
So he kept saying,
come on.
Mm-hmm.
So, like a fool, I walked across, you know, people was eating. Yeah.
Right.
He did that on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they called Osgood the next week.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I went down to see Osgood with my weekly report, you know, he admonished me about that.
Right. You know. That he created.
Yeah. I said, mm-hmm. well, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So, I said, I've been going out there for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And I said, Patsy.
Mm-hmm.
called me
insisted.
Over there.
Right.
And,
right.
I said, ask Patsy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he had Patsy denied it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't lose my gig. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it wasn't no big deal.
Yeah, right, you know, right, right, but, right. But it was just a principle.
You know,
yeah.
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 And, so I was kind of, not blackballed out there, but, you know.
Well, yeah, they looked at you differently.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, see.
So it wasn't too long after that I gave up the gig, so it wasn't a big deal.
But he did
that on purpose.
Yeah. did you ever give any lessons or instruct or, you know, any youngsters, saxophone players coming through? Have you ever done anything like that with anybody?
Yes. When I was in Homewood, I gave lessons to, maybe a half a dozen young kids.
Mm-hmm.
I charged 10 cents an hour, cents a half hour, you know, just so they would have
and keep them off the streets.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, but I did that 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What would you say to a young saxophone player coming through now? Words of advice or counsel? What would you advise him with?
I've got a young man here that works here that, seen me play. Man, I want to play like him, So I said, well, plays out to us.
Mm-hmm.
What do you know? What kind of books you got? I don't want to get in no books.
Right. Yeah.
I said, well, Bobby, I said, you have to get in the books. I said, how do you expect to play?
Mm-hmm.
So my advice to any young player, I told this guy, I said, first of all, you have to take lessons.
Mm-hmm.
You have to learn instrument. You have to learn how to read.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, once you do that, I said, if you have it,
it'll happen.
I said, but first thing you need to do is to master your instrument.
Right.
And learn your instrument and be comfortable on that.
Right.
And he said, well, how do you learn how to play?
Yeah.
I said, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
I said, well, that'll come with time.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you have to go to some jam sessions, get with some people.
Mm-hmm.
Follow some records,
stuff like that.
Those other things will come to.
Do you find that the period of time that you came through, that was there much of an influence from from the older players? You know, the guys Carl and Robin and the guys that you used to go and listen to. As a teenager, you find much influence from them in your playing.
From the older guys?
From the older guys,
because, like I say, Robin, when I heard him playing tenor, I said, I got to play tenor.
You got to get that.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening today, because I'm not around much, with young people.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if there's any young people up and coming.
Yeah.
This Jay Willis.
He's coming along pretty good. He's He's not that young. Okay. You know, Jay is not that young because he's been in for a while. And he's kind of seeing the light. I mean, just like you're saying, the experience that you had early off about the flute part and the clarinet and so forth. Mm-hmm. See, I've found a lot of the saxophone players in particular, if they play alto, that's all they play. If they play tenor, that's all they play. But in terms of overall, like you see, you played some shows, or even your experience with Basie. I'm positive that there was some parts that called for doubling, but whether or not, you know, but there's a couple of young brothers here that are going to school, and I see some promise in that sense. You know, there's a saxophone player here from Columbia, South Carolina, going to Duquesne, and this kid can play, and he plays everything, and he subbed, and I use a balcony band as a benchmark for a lot of these young fellas, and when they come through there, then, you know, they getting kind of ready. Yeah. See, because Paul, that young bass player, Paul Thompson, when he left town, because he's with Maynard now, mm-hmm. and he was ready when he left here, mm-hmm. you know. But, see, we don't have the rehearsal bands, and, you know, we don't have the black training areas for these young kids, you know, coming through. But the experience that they get from other, you know, other environments, you know, prepare them, you know, for the major scene. Do you find, when you were in the Army, did you go to any kind of a music school? Did they have a music school thing for you down there?